Welcome back, everyone. I'm James Montemagno. I'm a developer evangelist at Xamarin. Today, we're talking about developing native iOS, Android, and Windows apps all in C# with Xamarin. And as you can see, Tim called me this morning, made sure we aligned T-shirt colors in our beautiful C# shirts. And we really love green. So I'm going to tell you a little bit later how to get your very own. So first, who's this guy standing in front of you? Well, like I said, I'm James Montemagno, a developer evangelist at Xamarin, but just really a developer. I've been a Xamarin developer for about 3 years now. This is my contact information, my Twitter, the Xamarin Twitter. And I actually live right here in Seattle. That's it right here. I love everything about Seattle, mostly the coffee and also the food. but I've actually been a .NET developer for, oh geez, what's my birthday? Well, today's my birthday, so it's been about 10 to 11 years now as a developer. And a mobile developer for 3 years, and that's when I found Xamarin. So I first want to kind of give just a brief overview before I jump into the code of doing iOS and Android apps. So just anyone that's new to Xamarin. So when I think of Xamarin, we have multiple products. And the first product that we're going to talk about is the Xamarin Platform. So this is where you're going to be creating your iOS, Android, Mac apps, Windows apps, all inside of Visual Studio with C#. So everything you love about .NET and C# or F#, you can do that. So that's the Xamarin Platform. I also like to mention the Xamarin Test Cloud. So the Test Cloud is a brand new product we're coming out with. And it thinks about what do you do after you develop your mobile apps. So automated testing and testing on so many screen sizes is really an issue for developers. So what we did is we're creating the Xamarin Test Cloud where you can write automated user interface tests in a language called Calabash, a framework called Calabash. And you upload your Android or iOS apps, and they run on physical devices up in the cloud in our Test Cloud. And you can get feed and a reporting and see. So when you think of Android, there's hundreds of thousands of devices. And being able to see your application running on all of these screens, get screenshots and logs, and allows you to easily detect issues in your apps. So those are the two products. And again, we're going to be talking about the Xamarin Platform. So what are mobile apps, right? What are native mobile apps? So I always say that, and Xamarin says that native apps in general are three requirements, right? The first is a native user interface. So your applications, your users need to install them, need to look and the feel of each platform, because each platform is unique. So the toggle is a toggle, and a slider is a slider, and a list view is a list view, or a UI table view on each platform, right? So native, beautiful user interfaces. Next, that each device, from Windows Phone to Android or iOS, they all have a unique set of APIs in their SDKs. Each device is different, right? So think of AirPlay or NFC or Bluetooth, right? These are all unique APIs that need to be exposed and that you need to take advantage of. And additionally, once you have your applications, they need this performance. They need to be fast and fluid, right? So when your users install right away, your application, you only really have like 10, 15, maybe a minute to really impress them, right? So I'm already getting quite a few questions incoming. I do want to say, if you head to the Jabber chat, if you're here live, a whole bunch of my fellow Xamarins are there to answer questions, so go ahead in there. We did have questions for VB.NET. We do have support for portable class libraries, and we have great documentation on how to use your VB.NET code in a PCL. And then you'd be writing the rest in C# or F# though. So there's a little bit of VB.NET support. All right, so you have your application, and you know what you need to develop an app, but what's the development cycle look like, right? So how are we architecting our mobile apps? And where does Xamarin fit into that story? Well, I see this approach often, which is the silo approach, where you're building out an application multiple times on multiple platforms. So maybe you're in Objective-C or Swift inside of Xcode. And then you need an Android application, so you learn Java really quick. You just lowercase a few things, right? And then you boot up Eclipse or Android Studio. And if you're lucky enough, you get to develop in C# and Visual Studio, and you get to make some Windows apps, right? But this style of development gets really tedious really fast. It's how do you manage different features and bug fixes and rollout at all the stores, right? You have multiple PMs working on multiple teams, and how do you manage that all together? So it gets expensive, and it's hard to manage really fast. So then you think, or your company thinks, well, wouldn't it be great if we could just write code once, right? Just write it once and just give me some apps. So that's where that write once, run anywhere approach comes in. And this is usually an approach, maybe not always, but it's usually an approach you put some HTML and JavaScript and this app generator just kind of spits some apps out, right? But the problem with this is that you run into a wall or a barrier really fast because it's all about the lowest common denominator or smallest subset of APIs that's common across all platforms. So I like to say that you're now developing against their API, not the API, right? So the API, we want, as developers, we want access to everything. And we want that native look and feel. So often, this approach is some, you know, web view, not always, you know, and sometimes it's a native control, sometimes it's not. So you can't get that native performance when scrolling through a huge list of thousands of items, right? So that's where Xamarin differs, and we're not this approach. And some people think when you think cross-platform, it's a scary word, that you think of this approach. But Xamarin, we have a unique approach, which is leveraging the .NET framework, right? And all those libraries that we've loved and developed against and code against for the last decade, right? And sharing and building a shared C# backend, just like we have before, maybe in WinForms or WPF applications, right? We're taking this code, sharing it across iOS, Android, and Windows, right? We leverage the Mono runtime to enable you to bring this to iOS and Android. You take a little bit more time, as you can see here, to actually build out a native user interface in iOS or Android, and your Windows applications as well. But everything is in C#, so we have designers, which I'll be showing as well, for iOS and Android. But everything's in C#, and that's great. But you're sharing a vast amount of your code, and this could be anywhere from 50, 60, 70% of your code. And I'll talk about a little bit later, Xamarin Forms, a brand new library that allows you to share actually some user interface code and bring this up even higher. So when you think about how I'm getting started building mobile apps, this is kind of where I'm at if I'm in a Windows world. Well, I have all my base class libraries here, my system links, system XML, you know, namespaces and libraries that I've been using forever. Well, if I say I want to go ahead and develop for Windows Phone or Windows Store, right, then it brings in a platform-specific SDK for me. So here I have Windows Storage, Microsoft Phone, Foundation, right? So these are all the things that are unique about those devices. So what Xamarin does is we create C# bindings for every single API in iOS and Android. So here we can see we have all the system namespaces, and then we also have all the SDKs and APIs like iBeacons and Core Graphics, Core Motion. Right? This is just a subset of what's available. Everything's available, right? When it comes to iOS. And we do the same thing for Android. So here, text-to-speech, action bar, but we're sharing all these .NET libraries. And then we don't stop there, because we're not just like wrapping them and binding them in C#, the syntax. We add C# features. So lambdas, links, delegates, async await, right? Things that, as C# developers, we just love, because we love the language. So now that you have your application, you kind of have an idea of where you can structure it, you know. This means that anything, as a C# developer, anything you can do in Objective-C, Swift, or Java, you can do it in C# with Xamarin using Visual Studio. And then we're all about the native performance. So not only just the native look and feel, but the native performance. So on iOS, we do a full ahead-of-time compilation down into IL. We take that LLVM bytecode, we run it through the same compiler and optimizer that Objective-C apps go through, and that's going to give you the native ARM binary. So you get, and it runs natively because it's a native application. And on Android, it's a little bit unique. We still compile down to IL, and then we use just-in-time compilation to JIT across to the native on there. But we're leveraging the Mono runtime and all those .NET namespaces there. And what's unique is running the Mono runtime and the Dalvik, the Mono runtime can sometimes be faster. So it's very unique. So you're not, you're getting the native performance, native look and feel, in every single API, which is why Xamarin apps look and feel native because they are native, right? So you have your apps, and it's not just iOS or Android, right? Think about all the new emerging devices from Android Wear, Google Glass, and of course, Amazon has a lot of new devices as well. So taking your Android applications to the next step, maybe into the car, you know, on Amazon Fire Phone or Fire TV. So you can take these applications and share code across all your Windows apps and all of these unique devices. So that's enough with slides. Let's just go ahead right into some code. So I'm going to pull up Visual Studio here. And this is Visual Studio 2013, update 2. So when you install Xamarin, you go to xamarin.com, you will get If you have Visual Studio installed, you'll get the Visual Studio Xamarin extensions to develop Android and iOS applications, and we support 2010, 2012, and 2013. And we also have our own IDE, Xamarin Studio, as well, that runs on Mac or PC. So I thought about a few demos to give, and the first one that I wanted to show you guys was that Yahoo has this really great finance API that allows you to get real-time stock ticker data. It's very easy. It's just a JSON service. You can also get XML as well. So I wanted to take advantage of this. So I started off here, and I just have my Visual Studio solution, and I wanted to zoom in to see what this looks like. So here we just have an Android application, and then I'm using a shared project here as well. So if I'm looking at my shared project, we have some models, and I have a view model here. So for instance, a quote has a whole lot of properties. I just ran the JSON through jsontocsharp.com. But what we can see is I fixed it up a little bit here. So for instance, I didn't think that error indication return for symbol changed invalid was a good name. So I changed it to error. I thought that was a little bit better. And then I added a few helper methods here at the bottom to see, you know, what's the current quote or if the stock is up, for instance, right? And then I kind of architected this in an MVVM style approach, like for maximum code reuse. So for instance, here I have a get quote. I have a get quote method that kind of just goes out and makes use of HTTP clients, kind of RESTful, right? I go out and make this call asynchronous. We can see I'm returning a task of quote here. So I get this, I deserialize it, see if there's an error, and then return it. So that's it. That's my shared code that I want to take across platform. So I did already bring in an Android application. And let me show you what this folder structure looks like. So I zoom in, we can notice that I have a resources folder available for me here. And since Xamarin Android applications are native applications, we follow the same paradigm when it comes to Android. So in every single Android application, there's a resource folder where your images live and your XML representation of the UI live, and then values, so strings and styles and integers, right? So if you had an existing app, you could bring this all over and then tie up the code behind. So I'm just going to go ahead and show you what this looks like, and I'm going to go ahead and pull in our here's our Android designer built right into Visual Studio. So here I have a full toolbox available for me up in the top right, and every single Android control. These are the native Android controls. And then I have very simple user interface. I put it in a light theme. I could toggle the different themes here to see if I wanted a dark theme or a light theme that's available. Check rotation. So all the features that you'd expect. And then I could, you know, if I wanted to add another button up here, I could go ahead and drag another button and get live previews of where that would be, but we don't need that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out to the service, and then I'm going to update the UI. And what this is doing, our designer, is it's actually creating this Android XML in the code behind. So it's kind of like XAML, but not, it's Android specific. As you can see, it says Android, Android, Android for every property. But you use this to describe the ID and different properties on each native element. And this is what Android uses to display the user interface. So now that we have the user interface in place, I'm going to show you the code behind before I run this and then bring it over to iOS. So we can see here that I'm using the stock view model and something called main activity. So each page is an activity where you're navigating to and from. So the lifecycle events is you get an onCreate and an onStart and an onResume. So onCreate is where I'm going to inflate the user interface and say, I want you to use this main AXML file. And then I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to find each element. So here we can see that I'm finding each element by its ID. And then when you click the button, let's use that shared code, right? So here I add a simple click property plus equals on here, right? So I could say button.click. Right, here's every single property, long click, normal click. And I just add a simple event on here. And notice that I'm marking it as async. So we've added async await support as well, because we're going to be calling that get quote async method. So I pass in the symbol text property here that I found, and then just update the user interface. So let's add a few breakpoints here and see what this looks like. So I could just hit start, but notice I just want to show you that inside of Visual Studio, there's a toolbar for iOS and Android, and this will show you every Android device plugged in or simulator or emulator or simulator available. So I'm just going to go ahead and hit start, debugging, and I have a little screen mirroring application. This is actually screen mirroring my Android device here. So this will go ahead and compile up the native application and start a debug session right here. And of course, you can do this either on an emulator or a physical device that's plugged in. All right, so my application's starting up here. We see I have my nice user interface, and I'm just gonna hit get quote. So let's see, we'll hit our first breakpoint here inside of Visual Studio. And I can actually look at the progress bar, the little indicator, and I can look at every single native property that's on here. I could look at my view model. I'll just go ahead and continue through. We see my user interface is updating and it's refreshing. And then I get my quote back, right? So I'm debugging just like I always have. I have a call stack available to me and go into every single property that's here and go through that. So let's go ahead and return that up. Go ahead and delete these breakpoints. Here, use some Microsoft's up a little bit. I could come in and say, let's see how Facebook is doing and get the quote there. And this is near real time. I think it's after real time. I think the market's closed, but we could come in and see how everyone's doing today. So pretty quick, and actually change red or green based on if they're up or down. It's pretty cool. But Android is obviously only one platform, Windows as well, and obviously iOS. So let's go ahead and take this and put it on iOS. I'm gonna say add new project. And when you install Xamarin, I'd already done this for Android, but we install project templates for Android and iOS. So here's Android, and here's all the different versions and class libraries that you can create. But under iOS, there's a few different ones. I'm gonna create a brand new storyboard project. And here I'll just do a single view, and we'll call this Stocks iOS. There we go. And now we have a few different things. We have a storyboard file here, which I'll pull up in our designer. And then we have a controller, so it's kind of like our activity where our code behind lives. But I do know I want to say a few things. I'm using a shared code project, and one thing that's very unique is that shared code projects actually don't have any references. So they're just a bunch of code that you want to link and you want to share. So you can see here that there's nothing here, no references. Because how shared code projects work is they take on all the references of their parent project. So let's start and just bring in some references that I'm going to need here. So I have a shared add shared project reference. I'm just going to say go ahead and use that. There we go. And now I'll have access to all this, but we'll notice that up top, I can actually say, am I developing against my Android or iOS application? So let's toggle the iOS. You can actually do conditional compilation here. But notice that HTTP client and JSON convert and JSON.NET library, I'm grayed out. So let's pull in these. So I'm going to go to NuGet, and you can pull in your own portable class libraries or other libraries off of NuGet as well. So let's go ahead and pull in JSON.NET. There we go. And the other thing that we'll need is System.net HTTP. So I'll go to the assemblies, just like we've added references before. And here's System.net HTTP. There we go. And we see now our IntelliSense is lighting up because I now have access to all these methods. Perfect. So our code's in place. Our references are in place. Let's design the user interface. So I'm going to double click on the storyboard file. And we'll see our iOS storyboard designer right inside of Visual Studio. So when you install Xamarin, you not only get the Android designer, but you also get the Xamarin designer for iOS as well. Which just like we saw in Android, we have all the toolbox items, so every single control that's in iOS. So first thing I want to do is I'm going to drag this over and say, I would like some navigation in there because maybe I want to navigate in the future. So I'm going to pull in a navigation controller, and there it is. And I'm going to say, this is the start of my application here, so I actually want to start at the navigation controller, and we're going to delete this other view controller I don't need. So we're kind of reorganizing our application to say, this code's already in place, so let's just take advantage of this. So I'm going to control click over, and this is the only line that we ever draw in our designer, because you only need to ever draw one line. And here we say root or push based on like navigation that's built into storyboard. So I'm going to say this is my root, so this is where you're going to start, right? Now I can zoom back in and start building out this user interface. So I'll say this is going to be maybe quote me. Okay, I'm going to get some quotes. And let's just start building out our user interface. So I'm going to add a button in here. And then we get, designer. Everything you'd expect from a designer, so I can do alignment here. Let's go ahead and pull in some text. Here's a text field. line that up, make it a little bit bigger. And also, let's put in a label because we're going to need to display some text. There we go, put that right in the middle. And the last thing I'll do is I'll put in an activity indicator view, so a little spinner, so when we actually need to do stuff. So let's make this label really fancy because iOS has really fancy fonts built in. So we're going to take advantage and make this pretty big. Let's do that. And we can come down to our property pane and every single property is available to us. So you say, let's make that, I don't know, 48. Let's make it real big. And I think all the cool kids are now using Helvetica fonts. And they're all using thin, because that's really cool. And we'll center that, right? So there we go. Kind of a base user interface in place, but I could design and I could really tweak things. We have support for things like auto layout as well, which is an iOS specific way of saying when I rotate, you know, keep this in place. So we have that in place, but what I'd like to do is change this label. I could go into the properties, but I'll double click because each control in our designer has a default action. So for a label, we'll set that to 0.0. Here, we'll change this to MSFT, for instance. And our button, let's go ahead and fix this up a little bit. So we'll call this quote for our title. And let's start naming these properties here. So we'll call this label quote. We'll call this progress bar. And there's also a property to say hides when stopped. There we go, so when it's not spinning. And we'll call this symbol. And the last thing here is our button, we'll call it button quote. Perfect. Like I said, every button has a default action. So when you're adding events, here's a full event list on my button. But I could just simply double click here. And it'll automatically add the code in the code behind for me. So here's our button quote with our touch up inside event, which is a click handler. And I can just start writing code. So if I came in and I have access to my label quote, there it is. So there's no need to draw a line to some code file or anything like that. We enable you to just name your controls. And we take care of all the hard work for you. So let's implement some of this functionality. I already know that I'm going to mark this as async because I'm going to take advantage of that view control or view model. So let's go ahead and create that. So here's my stock view model. We'll set that equal to a new view model here and just bring in this namespace. Perfect. And let's go ahead and set this up to say if my progress bar, I'm going to start animating at some point. I'm going to do stuff. And then I'm going to stop spinning. So I'll say progress bar dot stop animating. There we go. Before I do that, I'm going to check to see if we've entered anything. So we'll say is null or white space. And we'll check out our symbol dot text, right? So that's that the entry field there. And we'll return, but we can do something a little bit more than just return. Let's go ahead and create a new UI alert view, so a little pop-up box. And there's a lot of overrides, but we want this one, which is some titles in here. So we'll say error, and we'll say please enter symbol. There we go. Drop down to a new line, and we'll just say OK, and the last thing we need to do is show it, right? So pretty simple, we'll create a new UI alert view, pop it up if necessary. But let's go ahead and take advantage and do some work here. So what I'd like to do is get rid of this comment and get that quote. So I'll take advantage of my view model and we'll say get quote. And here it's expecting a symbol. So again, this is the symbol text field that I had, and I'll go ahead and trim it up. There we go. Perfect. And we know, if I looked at the code behind, if I peek in here, that it's going to return null if something goes wrong. So let's go ahead and check to see if it's null. So if quote is null, let's go ahead and update the UI. So we'll say label quote.text equals invalid. And else, we can update it with the proper new information from our quote. And notice that this is an asynchronous method. So right now, it's returning a task of quote. So what I need to do is await on it. So I need to make sure that that awaits and I'm awaiting on the task to complete. But I'm not locking up my UI, and that's very important. With async await, I can go off on the background thread. I can start on the UI context, go off on the background thread, pull down the stock information, and async await will automatically handle returning on that same context, the same UI thread. So I won't run into an error or issue here. So I'm going to set the text here now to our quote dot current quote. And let's add a little bit more information and say quote dot change. And I'd also like to make it, again, a redder green. So let's say text color. And if the quote is up, we'll set it equal to, I'll put a little ternary operator in here. We'll say UI color, it's an iOS color, dot green. Else we'll do UI color dot red. Perfect. And that's it. So now what we can do is make this our startup project. And now notice that I'm only doing just a little bit of user interface specific code. But what I get is that shared code of all of our logic, of all of our parsing of that JSON and calling to that RESTful service. So here again, we have set this to iOS and run on a simulator. So I'm actually on a Mac here inside of VMware. So the emulator, or the simulator, will pop right on top, which is nice. And again, I could add breakpoints in here just like you would expect and start debugging. So again, this is going to go through that same compilation, compile it up, and run it here on our simulator. It's going to be really big, so let's make this smaller. Maybe 50%? Perfect. All right, so we kind of get a one-to-one representation here, and I can simply select quote. Notice that I get the same thing. I get my call stack. I have ability to go in and check every single property that's available to me here, right? I can go ahead and minimize these down a little bit, and I can continue through. And right away, it's really quick. So I can go and I see every single property available, just like we did over on Android. So again, I can continue through, and we'll see now in our simulator that we have that nice user interface that's popped up there for us. And I can come in, I can type in, you know, Google, see how they're doing, maybe Facebook, and it's really quick. And if this is live right now, you'd see live updates every time I click it, which is really cool. Okay. So we have a base of our application set up, but let's really extend it and let's do something cool, because our designer doesn't stop there. If I go back here, I want to show you that I also have a custom bar chart control, because the Yahoo API not only allows me to get the current quote, but also a history. So I have a bar chart here, and if I look at my view model, we can notice that on the bottom, I didn't show you earlier, we have a get history tab. So our get history method, which is another async method, and it goes out and it specifies, give me 2 weeks of data. So let's take advantage of that. So first I'm going to do is add in a reference now to my solution and say, let me add in my iOS bar chart. And we can go ahead and compile these up here. So let's go ahead and open our storyboard project again. There it is. And what we'll notice now is if I come to my toolbox, we have every single, you know, everything available to us, but I also have a custom component, so our own custom controls that are here as well. So here's our bar chart view. So let's go ahead and drag that in. There we go. Let's really make this nice and big here. There we go. So it's a custom control. This is a control that we wrote in C sharp, right? So here's the bar model and the chart view. It's taking advantage of different platform-specific features. So it's a custom control. This doesn't ship with iOS, right? So here's our every single property that's on it. We can name it, for instance, chart. And then what's great is that I can actually modify the values and get real-time updates of my custom control that's in here, right? And come down and say, what would be really nice, maybe I don't want this to be green, but let's make it Xamarin blue. So it's 52, 152, 219. There we go. So that's nice Xamarin blue. And you know what? I also don't like the legend there. So this is pretty good. And let's go ahead and write up the code behind now. So go back to my view controller. And now we can just start taking advantage of getting that history. And so one thing I do want to do is when I first come in here on our text field, I want to go ahead and put down the keyboard. So it's not built in, like the actual iOS doesn't handle that itself, so we have to resign the first responder to hide the keyboard. So let's do that. But let's go down and now grab that history. So we'll say view, we'll do a wait again, and we'll say view model.getHistory. And again, we can go ahead and then pass in the symbol. So there's our symbol.text.trim again. And we can see that get history is returning a list of history quote. However, our chart actually is taking an item source, which is of bar model. So we need to somehow convert the history quote list to this bar model list. And where that comes in is using system.link. I love link, it's so good. So link will allow me to easily convert this. So I can come in and say history.select, and I'll say take an item. So go through every single item, and let's convert it to a new bar chart, bar model. And we'll set some custom properties on here. And we could set the color, the legend, the value. And we need to set the value to the item.value instead of the equal. There we go, to the item.value. And now I also know that the history comes in from today going back. So I actually want to show it in opposite order. So let's reverse this entire list for me. And we'll do a to list there. There we go. And that's all the code I need to put in place. And again, I can simply go ahead, compile this up, and run it on my simulator. So now I don't even have to leave the comfort of Visual Studio to take advantage of all these great features of our designer. So I'll run this again, and there we go. Our bar chart automatically updates with this brand new data, and I can scroll through it just like I would expect. Pretty awesome. All right. So I'm going to jump back into slides real quick, because I want to show you guys a new library that we just released with our Xamarin 3 launch, which was the designer was part of as well. So let me go ahead and pull this back up here. So that was just how to start building out, you know, your native user interface on Android and iOS with our designers that are built right into Visual Studio. And of course, sharing code, right? I was using a shared project, but you could use a portable class library or bring in other libraries that you've been developing as well, because it's just C#.NET code. So Xamarin Forms is a brand new library. Think of it as a new library just in your toolkit of building out iOS, Android, and Windows Phone applications. And it takes your shared code level to a whole new level because we enable you to build native user interfaces on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone from a single shared C# code base. This is really unique. So let me walk through that just a little bit. So again, we already talked about the Xamarin traditional approach. So the traditional approach is, you know, taking a little bit more time, using the tools to build out and finally tuning, but getting 100%, you know, API access. And with Xamarin Forms, that doesn't change. So you still have access to every single API. So here we just add a brand new library for cross-platform native user interfaces. But we still see we have a little bit of purple and green and blue on top. So we still enable you to get down to the native APIs, right? Or even customize each native controller, bring in your own. So Xamarin Forms is going to enable you to easily prototype and really get, you know, user interfaces fast and sharing more code. And what's unique, again, is that Xamarin Forms is mapping each of our controls to the native control and behaviors. So this means that your apps are 100% native, right? And then you can mix and match not only the native APIs, but also you can go ahead and customize any of our controls as well. So we do have a lot of questions as well that I will get to hopefully at the end. So I'm going to try to do as much as I can. So what's included out of the box? Because a lot of people, when they hear about Xamarin Forms, they think of the 40-plus pages, layouts, and controls that you can build out. And you can build this from the code behind, or we have XAML markup as well, which is really great. You can't bring over your existing XAML because it's against our schema, but if you're a XAML developer, you're really going to love this. And mostly because the framework includes two-way data binding as well. So if you're used to data binding, just like you are on like Windows and WPF applications, all of that's there for you on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone with Xamarin Forms. We didn't stop there. We handle navigation paradigms between platforms and also cross-platform animations as well. So a nice API to do asynchronous and replayable animations across all platforms, which is awesome. We also have a dependency service built in, so if you need to get down to the native bits. And then also a messaging center to talk across all of your different components, like different view models, for instance. All right, so when you want to get started, you got to think of how am I going to lay out my application? And that's where pages come in. So for instance, you have content, master, and then some navigation, some tab controls here. So these are your pages, your base foundation, right? So what's unique here is your page, like a content page, just want to put a bunch of controls there. Or tab pages, it's the native tab. So on iOS, it's on the bottom with images. On Android, it's on the top, for instance. And on Windows Phone, we use a pivot control. So once you have your page and you're ready to go, you want to put something in, you want to put some controls, and you want to lay it out in some way. And we have 7 different layouts built right in, from a stack layout to an absolute, relative, really powerful, and you can nest these together. And then there's the controls. So you have the pages, the layouts, and then here are the controls that you're going to get out of the box. So for instance, buttons, labels, list views, maps that are available there. And then there's a little slot down here that, you know, add your own controls, and we'll be adding more as well, or customize any of these controls. So what does this look like, right? So let's say I have a login page. We've probably all written a login page or two in our time of development. So we have a view model. We say I implement I notify property change for property change notifications. So I have a bunch of getters and setters here and a command, right? So an I command. So when I log in, maybe I'll go to the server, right? And then when I want to implement this in the code, so here's what a page looks like in code behind in C#. So I go ahead and I'm deriving and inheriting from content page, which is that page that has a bunch of controls on it. I set the binding context, and then I just start adding controls. So here I can say I add a new entry field, and I bind it to the username, I add a password, then I add a button. And I'm going to show you all this in code live as well. So I add that button in here, and then I set the binding. So I bind the command property to the login command that was specified in my view model. And then each page has content. So I put it in a stack layout, and it has a bunch of children. So everything that can host multiple controls has a children property to it as well. So I add the username, password, and login button. So if you're a XAML developer, you say, well, how is this going to correlate over to XAML? So here's what that looks like. It's actually very simplified. You, again, just use a content page. You have some content inside of it, and that's where my stack layout comes in. I have the different properties in here for padding and spacing. And I can do, you know, entries and buttons, right? So if that's in place, here's what it looks like on each platform, right? So the native buttons, the native entry fields that are available for me, and I'm good to go. So let's go ahead and jump into a live coding adventure here, number 2. And before I jump into that, I'll answer a few questions. So the first one was, can I import existing iOS projects into Xamarin? You can bring over your existing storyboard files, just like you could bring over your resource files in Android. We do have a way of bringing over Objective-C libraries or Java libraries and creating your own C# bindings for it, so you'd be able to do that. A few other ones here we have. Today Google announced their new Material Design UI. How does Xamarin work with major UI updates like that? So this is a great question. How does the release works, right? So obviously I showed you a little bit of the new SDKs like Watch or Android Wear and Google Glass. What's great about Xamarin is that we keep always up to date. For iOS, for instance, we've been shipping iOS same-day support since iOS 5. We already have iOS 8 support in our alpha channel right now today. You can take advantage of, and you get access to all these new APIs. So when Android releases these new SDKs available to us, you'll go through the same process. You'll get to take advantage of all the new APIs and the user interface controls. Then it's up to you what you want to do with your application or how Google themselves are handling that. So let's dive into the live coding adventure and go back over to Visual Studio. And hopefully I can answer a few more questions at the end. So if you wanted to get started with Xamarin Forms, it's included in your Xamarin subscription. So I would say File New Project. And instead of saying Android or iOS, I'd go and fall under Mobile Apps. And here I can create a new Portable Class Library version or a Shared Code Project. What I'm going to do is actually open up an existing project here to add some really cool features and build it out. So I'm going to bring in this called trip expense. So I do a lot of travel, I'm sure many of you do as well. Or I just want to take expenses as, you know. So here I have a trip expense app. This will load up here. What's great is this is exactly what you'll get when you create a new project. You get your shared project, you get your iOS, you get your Android there, and then Windows Phone, right? And all of the project references are added right there. So inside of my trip expenses shared project, I have some models and some view models here, and I can zoom in here. It's pretty simple. I like to use an MVVM approach, which is model, view, view model. It's like MVC, but some more Vs and some more Ms in there. And it's great because I get to like architect my code to be my code behind, my business logic, doesn't have to know about the user interface. It's just a representation of how I should be displaying information. All right, so I have a nice trip expense and then some view models here. My trip expense is very simple. I just have an ID, a name, I can say if it's billable, and then maybe a category, because maybe it's a meal or transportation, and then a price. So let's go ahead and take a look at my main view model, because this is where the hard work is going to be done for me. So I have an observable collection. This is kind of code that we've written, you know, all the time. We have observable collection. And in my constructor, I'm taking advantage of this messaging center. So anytime maybe I get a new notification of a new expense or an expense that's been updated, this will automatically add it to my list. So my UI doesn't have to be aware of it, because Xamarin Forms will handle that updating for me. Then I have a load expenses command that doesn't do much right now. We'll add to that as well. And then I have a way to update an expense as well. In our detail view, this is going to be very similar. We have a list of categories that I could add. And this gives me the ability to pass in a pre-existing expense, or I could create a new expense automatically. So if the expense is null, I mark it as new, and it goes ahead and creates that for me. This is great because I have some more I commands here. I have a save command that's just saving it locally. And then I go ahead and pass that message back to anyone that's listening. So very simple code behind. What's great here is that I have another folder called views that are actually blank right now. I have an expenses view and a details page. And notice I'm actually mixing and matching. I have a code behind, and I also have a XAML as well. So let's go ahead and implement our code for the expenses page here. And we see right now that I'm just inheriting from content page up top and not really doing much. I have an expenses view model that I set to the binding context like we saw in our login view, our login page. And then I have a nice little label in our content that says these aren't the droids you're looking for. So we want to kind of update that. So let's start building out our interface here. So we're going to create a brand new list view. This will be a new list view. And again, this is a Xamarin Forms list view. And right away, I can go ahead and set my item appearing, item tap, the item source, and selected item. We want to say what's in our list of data. So here's our item source. And we'll set that to our view model.expenses. There we go. And then what I can do is say, how do I want to display these lists? So we've kind of followed that same paradigm of item templates and data templates. So let's give a representation to our cell. So that'll be a data template. And we have quite a few built in out of the box for you to use. So we have like image cells and text cells. And that's what we're going to take advantage of here as well. So our cell, this is what how we want to display our information. So let's tell it what to display. So again, we have a set binding property. And it says, what would you like me to bind? What part of the UI do you want me to bind to? And to what in your code behind bind that control to? So I can say text cell, and this is every control built into Xamarin Forms. This has a text property. And I'll say bind that to name. And I'll do another one for the detail. So there's our text cell, the detail property. And I'll set that to price. And when I'm ready to use this cell, we'll set that to the item template. And there's our cell. Perfect. Right? So we have our list. What happens when I tap on it, right? So what I'd like to do is get a tap event. So here's our item tap. So it's one user interface because each, you know, it's one API to code against because each, you know, table view or whatever acts a little bit differently. So we handle that for you and give you one API. So we'll add a click handler in here. Here's our sender. We'll pass in some args, right? And I'll check to see if my list.selected item or item selected is null, just to be sure. And if so, let's return. Else, let's navigate to a new details page here. So item selected.selected item. There we go. So let's go ahead and say navigation, because we're in a page, we're in a context that we have navigation available to us. Let's go ahead and push. We can push or pop. And we'll give this a new details page that I'll show you how I'm building out. And here, let's go ahead and pass it the existing trip expense. There we go. When we're all done, we'll set the selected item equal to null, just to clear it out. All right, the last thing we need to do is have a way to navigate to and from, right? So let's go ahead and create a new button. So this will be add expense here. This will be a new button. And let's give it some text to say add expense. Perfect. Now, in this time when we click it, we'll again pass in some sender args and set up our event handler. We will simply just go ahead and use our navigation again, push asynchronously to a new details page. We'll pass null this time, just in case, so we don't need to. Perfect. Oh, sorry, this is a dot clicked event. There we go. Got to give it an event. All right. So our user interface is basically set up. So what I can do here is, instead of setting it to a label, let's give this a brand new stack layout. And we'll set this equal, and we'll set a few padding properties on here and spacing. Just so padding is inside how much space around all of my controls, and the spacing is how much is in between. And then I'll set the children here equal to the list and the add expense. Perfect. And I'll add that there. And our user interface is basically good to go. Let's also give this a title on the page too. So we'll say expenses. So we have some context here of what's going on. Okay. All right. So next thing we want to do is fill in this details page, because I've been navigating to it, right? But let's go ahead and put this in here. So we could look at our code behind here. This is my XAML code behind. I'm not doing much. I literally just set the view model, which you could do in the XAML as well. But I like to pass that in and set it up automatically here. So let's open up the XAML file. It'll also open up inside of here. And I could have built this all out. I just didn't have enough time. So I just kind of did this by default. But what we see is, again, I'm inheriting from the content page. I'm setting the title to details. I have a stack layout, some entries, and again, a binding. So here's my two-way data binding to and from that entry cell. I'm saying the keyboard type is numeric. And again, I'm even nesting multiple stack layouts inside of each other, binding up the selected of our picker. So the picker, then we have like meals or transportation, and even binding in our buttons, commands. Perfect. All right, so let's go ahead, and that's all the code that's really in place, and the code behind here is, I do have to add the items manually here right now for the different strings that are in our item list, but that's about it. All right, so now we can go ahead and our application is ready to go, to be honest. So let's go ahead and spin this up and see what it looks like on iOS first. As long as I have no coding errors, of course. Let's take a look here. So to go ahead and navigate over. Here's my expenses. When I add new expense, navigates to a new page, and I can say, you know, iOS expense. Maybe that's billable. Maybe it's $50, and I get the transportation. You know, it's lodging maybe, and I'll save it. And it messages back to my main page and automatically updates my user interface. If I tap in and say, you know what, that was really $60. Let's hit save. It updates automatically to 60. We can run this on Android, of course, as well, right? So here's Android. We'll see my Galaxy Nexus is here, so we'll start spinning this up. So again, build up the application for me again, and then start deploying. And I could then debug into all of this code across all projects, but now I'm sharing, at this point, nearly 99% of all of my application logic. Now I could drop down and do some like text-to-speech, or I could add in specific things as well. Or if each platform is handling authentication differently, I could still get down to those native APIs of everything in iOS and Android. Here we can see I have my trip expense. This will go start up for me. I have a different look and feel because the button here is an Android button, so it'll go ahead and navigate across. I can say Android phone. Again, maybe this was $99. And then I can save this, right? I get a different look and feel here in my list. And again, the same would be here for Windows phones. So let me go ahead and see if get my Windows phone on screen. Use a little screen mirroring here. There we go. So I'll go ahead and start this on the Windows phone device. So we can put all of these side by side as well. So here we go, we get our Windows phone, I have an add expense button, and I'm getting the native look and feel here of the Windows phone. Right, let's save that. So now I have all of this in place, right? And all I've done is just created one user interface that's sharing across all projects, right? But let's take it a step further and show you guys something really cool. Because at this point in my application, I could stop here and maybe add a SQLite database to store offline. But let's take advantage of, let's say, Azure Mobile Services, which allow me to store all this information up into the Azure cloud and pull it and synchronize across all projects. And it's really simple to do. And what's great here is that first in each project, I've added a reference to my Azure Mobile Services. So you can do this from NuGet, or you can add it from our Xamarin Component Store. So the Xamarin Component Store is a hand-curated list. It's kind of like NuGet, but it's a hand-created curated list of iOS, Android, and Windows libraries and user interface controls that you can easily add into your application. It's built right into Visual Studio or RIDE Xamarin Studio. Here's Azure Mobile Services. They have code examples, and with one click, you can get it right in there. You can even submit your own. So I've added that to Android, to iOS. That's in here, and we can see that here's all of our Azure references. And I should also note that Xamarin Forms is distributed through NuGet as well. So you can automatically get real-time updates when we're doing things. Perfect. So let's go ahead and add some Azure code. So I'm going to go back, and I want to show you, I've kind of hit one little important file, which is this Azure service, where I'm going to implement Azure Mobile Services, and it's really simple. So here, for instance, let me open this up. And in Azure Mobile Services, we have a mobile service client that's going to be used to communicate with our data tables in Azure. And I have a table here. Here's my key. I've hid my key from you guys. You can't steal it. But I have my key. And I get the table. So here's a list of trip expenses. And there's three methods. They're all asynchronous. I can insert, update, or get a list of my expenses. And that's all the code. That's it. Right? And then we just need to take advantage of it. So let's go ahead and go into our view model, so our shared code. So first thing I'll do is go into my expenses. And where I was loading them before, so here's my load expenses command, and this gets called every time my application loads up. I'm clearing the expenses, but let's go ahead and say expenses, and we'll use our Azure service.instance and get a list of expenses. And we'll just loop through those, call this expenses. And we'll just add that into our list. Add, there we go. There we go. So pretty simple code, just, you know, this is code that you've probably written and shared but before. So there's our expenses that's in here. Ah, and we also need to await. Good old IntelliSense telling me that don't forget to await, right? Because we're going off and pulling that asynchronously back. Now in our detail view, I showed you that we were notifying our other view model to do that, but we also want to update Azure. So let's say if it's new, is new, else, we'll put some, just a little if in here, we'll say await on our Azure service dot instance dot, if it's new, we want to insert the expense. So we'll pass the expense to it. Else, let's go ahead and await the Azure service dot instance dot update asynchronously. Perfect. So there's our code behind, literally six lines of code to put that in place. But let's actually update our user interface a little bit. And I want to give a way to refresh in the user interface, because I could then subscribe to push notifications at this point, and I could update via the view model. I could add Facebook, Twitter authentication as well via Azure mobile services. But let's go ahead and add this in here. So not only does our page handle navigation, but it handles all of our toolbar items as well, because they're different on each platform. So we have a list of toolbar items. I'm going to create a brand new one. Here we go. And our toolbar item has a name and an icon. So let's say that this is a refresh. And I'll give it an icon of refresh.png. Now it's important to know that I've added a refresh.png to each project because I want them to look and feel different on each platform because they are different. And then I'll set the command here. And we'll set that equal to the view model load expenses command. That's it. Last thing I want to do is give this a little spinner. So let's go ahead and create a new progress. It's called an activity indicator. And we'll do some bindings. And in my base view model, what I didn't show what I'm inheriting from is when I go and do work on the background thread, I set this is busy so I can bind to that right here. So it's very simple. And this is where I implement I notify property change. So let's say progress dot set binding, and again, activity indicator, and we'll say is running. Set that to is busy. And again, we'll do another one to make sure that it's not visible either. So activity indicator that is visible to is busy as well. Then I just need to add it into my code. So add it first, and we'll say progress. We'll do that. Now let's go over to Azure. So I have the Azure portal pulled up here. There we go, it's timed out, so let's see if we're logging in. So this is the Azure portal if you haven't seen it before. And it has a list of all of my tables that are in here as well. So I can browse through and I have a trip expense table. And you'll see there's no data in here, right? So let's go ahead and synchronize this up. So I'll go back over here and we'll run this application. So let's first run it over on iOS. Let's go ahead and start debugging, or start without debugging here. So now I didn't save any of my code or any of my expenses from earlier, so we'll have to add some new ones in here. So let's go ahead and do that. So we can see here, we'll say add expense, and maybe this is from iOS, and this is $100, and it's billable. Let's save that. Let's add another one just for fun too. Say expense to iOS, and we'll just save it in here. We can come back to Azure and we can actually refresh this table. We'll notice automatically it's synchronized up to Azure. Now we can spin this up and see what this looks like on Android. Let's go ahead and see what this looks like. So now it's already synchronized up with iOS, so it'll pull down all of that already existing Azure information. So here we can add a new expense in here. We'll say from Android. Maybe that's billable, and we'll hit save. There we go. Now if I go ahead and back over to my iOS application and hit refresh, there it is, from Android, right? I could then do the same thing over on Windows Phone to take a look at this. You can see our Windows Phone pop up here. Now automatically, like I said, Azure will take care of all that for me. And here are my items right in my list. Perfect. Now Xamarin Forms doesn't stop at that. Xamarin Forms also allows you to do a lot more complex things. This is a very simple example. We have a full application already ready to go called Mobile CRM. So it's an app that's open source on our GitHub and has a lot built in right into this, so maps and a lot of other great functionality. So it's a CRM application, and let's take a look at that, so what this looks like. So I'm going to go into my shared code here and drop this down, and we can see that I'm sharing all my models, my view models automatically that are in here. So it's a lot of code. Again, this is pre-built automatically for you. So we have our iOS and Android. Let me just go ahead and pull up the simulator so we can see all of them side by side. There's Android, and let's go ahead and take a look at iOS. We'll make this a little bit bigger, scale maybe 100 here, and this will be on my home screen. Here we go. So we have a full maps control available to you. We're using a flyout navigation here, available on all platforms. We can go into different opportunities that are available here, and we can navigate around the map. Notice I'm getting Bing Maps, Google Maps, Apple Maps. I can dive in to more information into my user, right? So Xamarin Forms allows you to get and dive in and create a lot of really complex, beautiful native mobile applications. It's ready to go. So let me jump back over to slides.
So if you kind of like what you saw and kind of got started right away, we do have our own developer conference coming in up in October. So October 6th through 10th in Atlanta, Georgia. It's 5 days, 2 days of on-site training, and then also 3 days of actual sessions and conference, and the entire Xamarin development team will be there. So you go to xamarin.com/evolve, get information there. Additionally, we have our own live interactive training at xamarin.com/university. You sit down with real instructors online around your schedule, and there's a whole bunch of classes that are there. And it's often as you like, and you get videos, and you become a Xamarin certified developer. Of course, if you want to get started today, just go to xamarin.com/download, and you'll be good to go. And download all the tools, and we have tons of documentation and sample apps as well. And I'll try to answer as many questions as I can in the few minutes that I have left. But there's my contact information, and sure enough, I'm pretty sure I'll get a video of this all working up. And then also, if you do want this C-Sharp t-shirt, you can go to Xamarin.com/shirt. We'll send you a free C-Sharp shirt right to your doorsteps, no shipping. Just you download a sample app, change a few lines of code, and you're good to go. So with that, I have a few questions. Talking about the progress bar, I'd have to look into that question, but we'll come back to it. Let's see if I have any more questions I can answer. Maybe it says, will Xamarin Forms allow things like native authentication? Absolutely, you can take advantage of all the native properties that are available there for you. So. And I think with that, everyone have a great .NET Conf. And can't wait to see all the awesome things you make for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone with Xamarin. Thank you.